Be benevolent.
Yeah.
What's the word?
Benevolence.
Jeez. It's late in the day.
It is. Banana boat.
Banana
boat. Just be banana boat. All right, here we are, episode 43 of the Rated NA podcast. We are minus one of our founding forefathers. Sounds like foreskin. It's going to be one of those guys. So we're missing Matt. Matt moved away. He's gone.
Well, he's not permanently gone.
No, he's gone. Yeah. He's gone.
He's gone forever.
He's gone.
I don't even know where he went.
I don't either. One day,
someplace
was
cold.
His stuff was gone. All the things were missing. Luckily, he left a lot of his audio equipment. And he said, you know what? You go on without me. You guys suck. And so we decided to go ahead and continue the podcast without him. So we are Rated NA episode 43. How are you guys doing?
We don't have the alrighty then.
He kind of faked it. You kind of did like a half-hearted.
Should I do it just in his honor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Whoa.
Is that pretty good? Was that a good impression?
We'll let Matt be the judge of that.
I don't like it, but okay.
Matt can decide when he hears it.
He can decide that. So yeah, we're let's see, we skipped a week because Matt was moving.
Correct.
And so obviously we didn't record on the day that he was moving because that would be mean. But Matt, in all seriousness, is in New York, and he's doing quite well in New York. And I'm sure once we get our audio situation figured out, we will have him back on ASAP.
I think we're going to try to Skype him in, or
yeah.
We talked about we were going to try to do a Google Huddle today, but I have not heard back from him, so we're just going to forge on without him.
Who knows?
He's going to call in the middle.
Hey guys, what's going on? Hey.
Oh, we should say who is here. First of all, I'm Ash, and over there is Mr. Scott.
Scott is still here, correct?
Yeah. Yep. And then we have one of our frequent guests,
Derek.
Derek,
friend of the podcast.
Friend. Welcome back.
Thanks, guys.
Known as D the P.
Thanks for being on again.
Stands for
Thanks
pilot.
For having me again.
So what's new in your world?
Work.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's been a worky week.
This week has been kind of like the sort of the poorness of this week is described, like I come home at night and I don't even want to play Xbox.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like that's kind of sad.
I had a couple nights like that too, where I literally fell asleep at 8:30 at night.
And you just don't have the energy to like hold the controller in your hand. That's, I mean, we sound like lazy asses, but
no, I feel your pain, but yeah, what I'll do, and I think I might have told Derek this the other day, but I'll get on the Netflix instant watch queue and I'll look through movies for like 35 seconds and then just pass out. I'll be like, I'm just going to watch a movie.
Ash spends a lot of time online, but he's away.
Yeah.
I just
stare at the loading screen and don't, you know, it's so, kind of
in,
sad.
In our house, we just like to, instead of watching something on Netflix, just flip through the movies for 30 minutes and then we're like, okay, good, time for bed.
Yeah. Looking at cool movie boxes.
Yeah.
It's like going to Blockbuster.
So Scott, why don't you run down what is in this jam-packed episode? Because a lot of stuff has been coming out.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the Old Republic and Mass Effect news. We're going to do some reviews of Skyrim, Uncharted 3, Battlefield 3, and the Rayman Origins demo.
Very cool.
And then we're going to wrap it up today with a little MMO talk because it seems timely.
Yeah.
Given the current climate of gaming.
Yeah. Yeah, MMOs.
I'm just going to answer it all with no.
No.
Yeah. MM no. Oh, boy.
Derek's out. Thanks for being on the podcast, Derek.
No.
Yeah. So let's just dive right into news and start talking about, I think the first thing on the list is the...
This is something you forwarded to me.
Yeah, I was excited. I was at the grocery store and I got an email that says, hey, guild deployment has begun. And we already talked about last week or maybe the week before the fact that Star Wars The Old Republic is doing a staggered launch on purpose. They're kind of easing people in. There's a lot of ways you can get into the game early. What has been revealed is if you have a guild and you've pre-ordered, then you're going to be able to get in up to 5 days earlier before the game actually comes out. So they'll basically say, hey, here's your download code. Download the game. You and your guild can jump in and get a head start.
Now, it seems like maybe part of the reason to do this, and it's kind of intelligent, is to make sure that your guild actually all gets on the same server, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, when we set up the guild first of all, I'm stoked to bring the guild back. But
The Fold.
We were like the worst guild in World of Warcraft. Everybody made fun of us.
Part of that.
The worst as in bad, like not skilled or?
Well, no. I mean, we were okay. So like the whole concept behind the guild, the Fold, was it's a guild for everybody. It's a guild for families. It's a guild for power gamers. It's a guild, you know, just for nice people. That doesn't really work in the World of Warcraft, where like the end game is like the primary goal. The primary goal was not fun in World of Warcraft. It was to get the best shit.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound fun.
No, it doesn't. Right. So like the idea was, you know, get on with your friends, have a good time. And that works for a while. And like you build these great relationships with like people all over the world. And it was really cool. But then like every once in a while, people get those dollar signs. And then like someone who you think is your best friend would like do something horrible and just like take an item or like defect to another guild. And, you know, it was so much guild drama back in the old days.
This totally smacks of like Knights of Good kind of behavior.
It really is. And that's the brilliant thing about the guild, Felicia Day's the guild, is it is really a pretty accurate reflection of what life is like in an MMORPG community. So... I'm excited about Star Wars The Old Republic. What they did is when you set your guild up online prior to the game launch, obviously, you had to choose if you were going to be Empire or Republic, and you had to choose if you're going to be on a PvP server, a role-playing server, or a standard server.
I don't even understand what the difference is, because can't you do both on both?
Yeah, well... Unfortunately for us, Scott, I put in a Senate PvP server.
Yeah, that's not going to work for me. Yeah, but I'm just going to deal with it.
Which means that we are permanently flagged in a variety of zones.
Oh,
not,
I see.
Not like the starting zones and not like, you know, the major hubs, the city hubs and things like that. But neutral planets, you come in flagged and everybody is against each other while you're questing and everything like that. So it's a little different. Than what you're used to.
Sounds like it's going to be very uneasy.
It can be. It can be. There's this weird
traveling
thing.
In packs.
Yeah, there's a weird.
Yeah, don't go anywhere alone.
I really think that prolongs the life of an MMO though, because you establish a sense of community with people that are in your faction. You really start to hate the other faction, and it creates this this really tight knit community. It really is a sense of war, because if you walk outside of the town, you can get shot in the face.
Right.
Whereas on a, as they say, a Care Bear server, which is lingo for a server that is non-PvP, on a Care Bear server, you can't get killed unless you turn a PvP flag on. And who's going to do that? So
Do you ever find yourself in uneasy alliances where it could be two factions like that kind of just have to coexist? You know, because you can't just always run into town and guns blazing, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes you guys just have to stare at each other.
Oh, yeah.
Dirty looks and just move on, right?
Well, that's the great thing. Like, you know, every once in a while you'll encounter someone that's obviously much higher level than you and can totally just whoop your ass. And sometimes they'll kill you. But it gets to the point where there is this, you'll be questing alongside someone of the opposite faction, and even though their name's all lit up in red,
you just kind of ignore them.
You ignore them, and you'll help each other out on occasion, and that makes for some cool memories. You know, like a Jedi and a Sith fighting side by side, against a common enemy. It is cool.
That's cool. The other thing that I understand about this game, but I haven't experienced firsthand, is that if you play as the Empire, you can still be sort of like light or dark.
Yeah,
in your decision making.
Yeah, there's they haven't revealed if there's going to be a way to permanently switch factions. I'm assuming eventually there would be a way, but
I heard a long time ago that they said it was going to be possible to sort of just be gray as a character.
Yeah,
that would fit BioWare's MO.
Yeah, and I kind of like that. I'm kind of into that.
Yeah,
vibe.
I'm into that as well. I know when I was messing around with it, and not to, you know, break NDAs or anything like that, but a lot of the decisions you make do have a big impact on your character's story, and you can, you know, choose to be a relatively good Sith Lord. Like, that's what I did when I played.
Just be benevolent.
Yeah.
What's the word?
Benevolence?
Jeez. It's late in the day.
It is. Banana boat.
Banana
boat. Just be banana boat. Whatever.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a long one. Sorry. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. Yeah, we're going to get the guild rolling out about a week before launch, it looks like. So, pretty excited about that.
Cool. The next story turned up on the internet is sort of like one of those stories about a game developer doing something awesome for a change.
Oh,
you know?
Cool.
In this case, the developer is Gearbox, and what they did was they basically did a memorial for a fan of the game who passed away at an early age, I think due to cancer. And this guy and his friend would play Borderlands all the time together. So when his friend passed away, the other guy went to Gearbox and was like, hey, it'd be really cool if you could do like a memorial for my friend. Like, we always played this game together, and that's how like we bonded. And so the guy who does the voice of Claptrap actually like recorded a segment of audio where he like did his Claptrap voice a little bit. And then he's like, I'm going to break character. And then he said like a bunch of nice things about the guy and like was like, thanks for playing Borderlands. And then the other thing Gearbox is going to do is they're going to make the guy who passed away a character in Borderlands. Wow. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of touching. Cause at the end of the audio, he says something like, and you know, like you'll live on forever in Borderlands too.
That's great.
And I just thought that was awesome.
That is really cool. Know? And every once in a while when, yeah, companies go above and beyond for things like that. That, you know, it's really good to hear. Gearbox is a pretty fan-centric company from all the things I've been hearing over the years.
I know from watching other web shows that Randy Pitchford.
Yeah,
he seems like a pretty cool
guy. He does. He was at PAX. He literally, they were there promoting. And this is PAX Prime. They were there promoting. Promoting Aliens Colonial Marines, and Randy Pitchford was just standing in the line with everybody else, just talking to everybody for hours. If he had a question to ask him, he was just sitting there, just like shooting the shit, legitimately excited about his games, you know. And that's awesome. And he's more than I think a hype man.
Makes me feel better about spending my money on it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
That they actually enjoy what they're doing. Enjoy
yeah,
the people
that's kind of the thing
that like it too.
That's why I brought this up, because I feel like in this day and age of gaming, I think gamers are educated enough to the point where like you don't just pick up a game off the shelf. You kind of like now you look at the box and go, "Who made this game?" And you
yeah,
like you think about the developer and their track record and like
it's kind of like record labels.
Yeah,
no, it really is. It really
it's
is.
Absolutely,
that's
true.
What I'm saying. It's kind of like record labels.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because I've put down boxes before, like based on who you know whose name is on the title. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name names, but I mean,
can we talk about that after the podcast?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
I'm curious now.
Yeah, we'll talk about it afterwards.
Some bad games.
Yeah, some bad ones. Okay.
I hear that. Well, that's cool. This kind of reminds me of a little bit, though. I don't know if you guys remember this. A couple years ago, probably actually 5 years ago at this point, a foreign World of Warcraft guild held a funeral service for someone who passed away in-game, who was a very popular character. And they had an in-game funeral with literally hundreds of people that showed up. And the opposing faction showed up and raided the funeral. On a PvP server.
I do remember that.
You do remember
I remember
it?
That. I
and they
remember
recorded
that.
It, and it was horrible because it was like set to like death, like, you know, Icelandic death metal music.
Is there any other kind?
And there's like...
Sounds like internet infamy right here.
It was a pretty terrible clip, but, you know, it's weird. It begs the question, like, are video games ever really the place to memorialize a living person? And I would say yes. I think the whole thing that Gearbox did is pretty cool, but I don't know.
I think it's a yes and no answer, really.
Yeah,
depending on how it's handled, but
yeah, it's just kind of a weird thing. But I thought this particular case was pretty cool. Just some, like hey, you know, we have fans, and thanks for playing our game. You know, that kind of thing.
I completely agree.
Like, we appreciate it. So what's coming up next? Do you want to talk about some Mass Effect?
Yeah, let's do the Mass Effect leak. Have you heard about this, Derek? Have you heard
the one that was on Xbox Live?
Yeah.
Yeah, you told me about it.
So, okay. Well, you're not supposed to say that. That spoils the illusion that we never talk to each other.
You should be like, what are you talking about?
But we just were playing
games
yesterday. So and maybe... No, we didn't play this morning.
Games. All right. So Mass Effect leaked more than people realize. A lot of people heard that there was a multiplayer leak. Someone literally on Xbox Live that worked for Xbox Live, this is what I read, flipped the wrong switch, and I'm using finger quotes for those that aren't, flipped the wrong switch and actually released the Mass Effect early beta to a number of people that signed up for the beta with Battlefield 3. So if you got Battlefield 3 early, you got into the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer beta. But these were also people that were selected for the new dashboard preview.
Oh,
so the people that had the dashboard preview,
it's a super bug.
Yeah. Dashboard preview. And the people that signed up for the Mass Effect beta for a number of hours, 5 or 6 hours, they had access to actually download the entire, Mass Effect beta, which was only supposed to be for, and it wasn't even the beta that's going to be available later. It's a beta that was for testing, like in company. So, unfortunately, what ended up happening is people played it, people recorded it, all, you know, tons of information leaked out. But data miners in Russia, of course, of all places, data mined the actual software and found out the ending of Mass Effect 3.
Oh, no.
I did not hear that part of
found
this.
Out the
I don't,
ending.
Don't,
you better
don't
stop
know.
Talking
I,
now.
I, didn't know, I don't know it, so I'm not going to
reach across
leak
the
anything.
Table and strangle you.
No, this I is know. A spoiler-free this, news item.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So while the news is out there, and you could seriously just Google it right now and find out the ending because the Russians got it and put it on the web, I urge you all to not do that. I've been able to refrain from doing it myself.
And I mean, really, there's no reason to do that, you know?
No, there's not. I mean, there are people that are insanely curious. Like I am. I watched a lot of the multiplayer footage that was recorded just because I was curious.
Sure, that's different though.
Yeah,
multiplayer.
And,
you know?
And first, well, it looks fucking awesome. I'm totally all about it. But it's sad when stuff like that happens. But what a bug. I mean.
I saw a screenshot, not of anything from the game, but of somebody proving that they could get it. And it looked like the screenshot was one of those things where it was like, oh, we see that you've downloaded this item before. Would you like to download it again?
Yeah.
So you can easily see how that could be like one line of code that like puts it in your like item, like list of things you've purchased. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, you've purchased this. Do you want to download it again? You're like, of course I do. I'll take it right now. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of shocked when I saw that, and I thought it was a really big, you know, massive screw up.
Yeah.
But imagine being one of those like lucky kids. You get home, and you're like, like, what is this? You know, I would have crapped my pants.
I would have too.
I don't know, man. I just
you wait for it.
It's like, I mean, because for you know, it's like a book. You don't want to like get a part of a book and like read two chapters plus the ending. Like, yeah. I would be afraid that I would see something I don't want to see.
Before
it's done.
The single, it was not only the multiplayer that was leaked. It was also the single player portion of the demo too. And the single player portion was literally the first 20 minutes of the game. So. Yeah.
Yikes.
The whole first 20 minutes. So that's all out there, which is kind of spooky, but big. I'm assuming, what do you think the punishment was for the folk?
The Xbox employee? I mean,
Xbox Live account was banned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, man.
Who really knows? I mean, it's hard to know without knowing the particulars.
I feel like that would be like almost grounds for termination.
That's a pretty big fuck up. I mean, that's like, you got to imagine being the poor.
Just because it's a high profile title, that's really why.
Well, and like the guys at BioWare that are just slaving to like make this the best possible and having
an
unfinished version of it and then having like, you know, the storyline leaked out. That is just, it's terrible. You know what I mean? That was like people that had like screeners to the original, the Phantom Menace and spoiled Phantom Menace, like before it came out. I don't know if you remember that, but
it was possible to spoil that?
Oh, yeah. You know, Darth Maul dies. I knew that before the movie came out. It was sad. I wept.
I doubt that, but
I didn't weep.
All right, well, let's talk about some positive Mass Effect news.
Oh, yeah. So, this is the Mass Cast. You're listening to the Mass Cast. the positive Mass Effect news is they are working on a mobile game. And how many of you guys played the original Mass Effect?
I'm actually playing through it again right now.
Are you really?
Just for fun. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, okay, so it's cool to play in the universe no matter what.
I think that's why I'm looking at it right now.
That's what it is, even though you're playing as Jacob. And
you're playing as a Jacob character who looks nothing like
Jacob.
And the Miranda who kind of looks like the.
Is it from his younger years?
It's supposed to be when he's a little bit younger.
But I mean, he really does look totally different, you know?
Yeah.
Like they got the skin color wrong?
No, I mean, no, it's not that. It's not that bad.
He's an Asian man in the iOS game.
Oops.
But it is, you know, it's okay. But this new Mass Effect game that's coming out for, I believe, iOS and Android is supposed to actually tie in directly with your game.
And there are not enough iPhone apps or like whatever mobile apps that do this.
I agree.
There really needs to be like one for every AAA title.
No, I completely agree with it. So, we're showing Derek Jacob. and it doesn't.
It looks kind of like
it was kind of like
Windu.
It's like a it's kind of like it was like a motion comic style game where, and then the gameplay was weird, but the cutscenes were all motion comic style.
Cutscenes were kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think if this gameplay were not accelerometer based, meaning that you could just, instead of having to turn the phone to move, you could just kind of tap, or there was like the on-screen D-pad, I think it would have been fine.
I agree. Yeah. I don't like having to move my phone all around in order to fire. But you know, while very limited information has been released about what this Mass Effect mobile game is going to be, it has been said that it is again going to link up with your link up with your personal game.
Please let it be mining.
Yeah, that's what we we said on the site. We were like,
just mine all the time.
Oh my god, dude, I would mine while I'm driving.
You, while you're pooping, dude, you could just do it while you're in the job.
Yeah, I would mine like middle of lecturing. Just be like, excuse me a second.
Because that's not something that you need to spend your time doing when you're on your couch in front of your TV.
Absolutely.
That's precisely what I want to be doing on my couch.
I want to be shooting. I want to be shooting Bartarians. You know, I don't want to be mining the galaxy.
That's true.
From my couch.
That's true. Imagine like if you could send out mining drones from your phone while you were fighting with your guns on
like
the
a second
surface.
Controller kind of thing almost.
You grab
like
your iPhone. Yeah.
What was it in the Dreamcast controllers? The VMU.
Yeah, the VMU.
Like something like that,
or like the Game Boy Advance. Plug it into the GameCube.
Yeah.
Four Swords Adventures.
I could get behind that. Yeah. But I don't know. There needs to be an Android
or like
app for it.
Tingle.
Well, hopefully there will be. Yeah, Tingle.
Poor Tingle.
I played with Tingle.
I did too. I played with Tingle, pretty much every day before my wife comes home.
What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh man.
You know, the Nintendo game with Zelda and Tingle.
I think that was the Wind Waker.
It was Wind Waker.
Was it not? Yeah.
I remember I was so stoked for Wind Waker and for Tingle. Let's explain to Derek what Tingle was, because he's looking at me like I don't know. So Tingle was...
Was this GameCube?
Yes.
It was on the GameCube.
Okay, so you could attach your Game Boy... Was it DS?
You could take it could be like a Game Boy Advance, so that was Game Boy Advance or Game Boy SP.
It was a Game Boy Advance, that's right. So you could take your Game Boy Advance and you could plug it into your GameCube, and if you did that, it recognized that you had a Game Boy Advance, and then someone could play on your Game Boy Advance as a character named Tingle while someone else is playing as Link in Zelda. And it was pretty cool because Tingle could like fly around the screen and like reveal hidden areas.
I think he could attack enemies for you too.
Yeah,
somehow drop bombs or something.
He could do like he could basically manipulate the environment, and it was actually pretty, pretty innovative. But the problem was Tingle was horrible. He would look like a little old Asian man who was wearing like a onesie,
like an elf onesie.
Yeah, he had like a jumper with a little poop flap in the back, and I'm dead serious, and like he. Like, he was the creepiest little fucker. So someone, that was Tingle. So one person would be playing as that, and he flew around, and he's just, like, this creepy old, like, pedo, pretty much, right? And then...
For those of you that are listening right now, we just showed Derek a picture of Tingle.
Yeah. So let's just hope that Mass Effect can at least achieve Tingle levels of awesomeness, because it was cool. It was just weird, like, you know...
Tingle the Solarian.
Those Japanese.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Let me
help you mine the galaxy.
Yeah. Hi.
Imagine being the Japanese producer who says, "You know what? I have this great idea. We're going to merge two different consoles together. Rather than one person playing as like this cool like sidekick type thing, they create Tingle, who is just the biggest creep." Pretty much in gaming history.
It could have just been one of the other pirates.
Yeah.
You know,
there's so many cool characters in Wind Waker. I think Tingle is what maybe actually never finished that game. I never did.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
The ending was pretty solid.
Was it?
Yeah.
I need to go back and dust off the old GameCube because I still have it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was Mass Effect 3 iOS gaming.
There you go. Turn it into the Tingle Hour.
What a terrible name, too.
Oh, so I put this in here last minute. Sorry to put you on the spot, Scott. But have you looked at Death Watch at all? Has anything changed?
I haven't recently, but the show that I actually have started watching, and I think I mentioned it last time, was Pan Am.
Oh, yeah.
It's surprisingly good, and I have this feeling that it's just going to get canceled because ratings are just consistently going down.
I read something about the ratings going down.
It's unfortunate.
Well, this, I mean, like I said, maybe I said this last time, but it's the show is pretty much the same thing as Defying Gravity, which is the show that the guy from Office Space was in with
Ron Livingston.
Yep, Ron Livingston with if you watched, and then the woman was if you watched Dead Like Me, it was Daisy Adair from
oh, I like her.
Yeah, so she, it was him and her, and it was the same show, except instead of being on a plane, they were in space going to Mars.
If you like her, what's her name? Laura Harris.
Yeah, Laura Harris.
If you, you like go. Laura Harris, she was in a horror movie like 3 or 4 years ago called Severance.
Okay.
Which is a British horror movie. You got to check it out. It's so good. It's about a bunch of corporate employees who go on a weekend retreat, and they go basically to like a well, it turns into kind of like a hostel-esque kind of movie, but she is like the main character in it, and she's pretty awesome. So you would definitely check it out. Check out Severance if you like that kind of stuff. You'd like it. I think you'd like it, Derek.
You think I would?
Yeah, I think you'd like it. I think cool. You'd be into it. You're into people blowing up. So let me ask you this. if you, since you fly planes for a living, that's what Derek does for you listeners. Have you watched Pan Am? Segway, see that?
I have not.
You have not?
No,
you are the problem.
Don't you wonder what it was like to fly a plane in 1965?
It's probably very similar to the way it is now, but with less rules.
And more smoking.
Yeah, and more smoking.
And probably more pilot.
More room in the cabin.
Yeah, that too.
That's always going to happen.
Did pilots back then actually have... like ashtrays up front in the
not on this show.
Not on this show.
I don't know.
I don't think they show people smoking on this show, even though it's probably, you could assume that it happen back then.
I remember being a wee little kid and there being smoking on the plane.
Yeah, they didn't. I don't think that really started ending until the 80s sometime. Yeah. Which is the worst idea ever, but
yeah, you're basically in this like this giant bomb, this flying bomb.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Although I mean the fuel shouldn't really ignite, but
it could.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen Lost, right?
I have.
I mean, that's what happened,
right? Pilot always dies.
Hurley was smoking, and then the plane crashed.
I can tell you that, man, this looks terrible. That Tim Allen, Last Man Standing, was picked up for a full season.
Okay.
Once Upon a Time was picked up for a full season.
I watched the pilot of that.
How was that?
It was all right.
I mean, I'm watching Grimm right now, and I kind of, that seems to be the bee's knees.
I saw the first.
You did? Did you watch just the first episode, or?
Yeah, just the first one. Why does it go down?
No, I wasn't really into the first episode.
Oh, see, I was totally down.
I just don't like how it seems that right now, like, vampires are the it thing. Now it's like, well, let's just do this with fairy tales.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I think they're trying to find a replacement for, like, the mutant / superhero show.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, last year they tried, you know, last year was heroes. Like, they tried the cape, and that, like, didn't work out.
Well, they need to come up with a better idea than a cape.
Such a bad idea. It had so many cool ideas, but like, my cape can grab stuff. I mean, really, guys?
Just made like a monkey man. Yeah. Like, I have a tail.
But David Anderson was in it, was he not? What's that guy's name?
Oh, what was his name?
Anderson is massive, like the Mass Effect character, but I can't remember what the guy's actual
name is. David Keith, right?
Keith, yeah.
I said Keith David last week. Keith For some David? Reason, we talked about him last week, too.
Are you sure it's not Keith David?
It is Keith David.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, but I called him David Keith.
I thought it was David Keith.
No, it's Keith David.
So, anyways, that's the latest on the Death Watch. I think last time I checked, I believe you and Matt are closely tied, and I'm maybe two or three projections behind. Yeah,
man. Have you been watching New Girl?
I have.
Dude, this week's was great.
It was. I haven't watched this week's, but I watched the last one I watched was the naked one.
The naked one.
That one was amazing.
It was really funny.
That was pretty funny. This week's was really good.
Cool.
It was really good.
I'm still on board. It's definitely got like an adult comedy vibe to it.
Yes. And I think the roommates are, to me, they make it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really? I love their characters.
Did you see this week's?
Is that the one where Schmidt gets stuck on the roof?
No. No, this is the one with the kimono that I'm talking
about. Yeah. He gets stuck on the roof with the cat.
Oh, yeah, he does. That's right. God, dude. That fucking hilarious.
It's a kimono.
Hilarious. Please check out New Girl. I'm sorry, we're talking about TV.
We're talking about the Death Watch. We're talking about the Death Watch. So we're still good. But nothing new on the Death Watch this week.
Well, that's good. That means shows are surviving.
I think we're past that because now we have to look forward to mid-season replacements like Alcatraz and
30 Rock.
I'm excited about
and
that.
Awake.
Awake?
I'm going to keep talking about Awake until people watch it.
I don't know what it is.
Is it about Alan Wake?
No, but it kind of has that vibe too.
Man, why don't we talk about that real quick?
Alan Wake?
That's news.
Oh, that is news.
Man, I didn't read the
news
article.
For Scott.
Come
I texted
on.
Scott the second that I found out about that.
I almost lost my mind.
Episodical coming out for sure. Original dev team, Xbox Live.
Oh, they're going to do episodes.
Episodes.
I did hear that rumor a long time ago, but I'm glad that they're doing it.
That seems to be a really good formula for that game.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the way they did the DLC.
Yeah. And the DLC kind of took the game in an entirely different direction because you find out what happens after the end of the game.
I never finished the DLC.
Oh, really?
I have a hard time playing through that game because it scares me so much.
Yeah.
It's really well done.
That's totally legit. It's a scary ass game.
Like, it's worse than Dead Space to me.
Because it's weird. It's like a Stephen King novel.
Exactly. And there was a couple of scenes in that game where I was like walking around in a very dark building and all of a sudden I heard these footsteps. I'm like, was that something behind me? I turn around, there's nothing there. I go back to doing what I'm doing, and then there's like two guys behind me.
Yeah, but I think that when you can do that in a game, you've achieved something.
Oh, yeah,
like
absolutely.
When it scares the shit out of you like Dead Space does or like Alan Wake does. Like,
well, I think the fact that Alan Wake was reviewed as well as it was and didn't make much money, but critically, it was like it was so well respected. That's the reason why they're able to do this sequel.
And it was the team. I mean, it was Remedy, so it's like Max Payne 1 and 2, and this. So like you know, there's a pedigree there for success.
Yeah, I mean, I basically picked it up because you told me I had to.
Yeah, this game. I mean, it didn't have like amazing like gunplay, but that's not really the point.
The point is the story. The
same thing with I had an issue with the gunplay, but it kind of fits in with you're not a soldier, you are a writer.
Yeah, and you're struggling.
It's kind of sloppy. So
even when you're doing well, you're still struggling. You're just like whatever you have like in your inventory is what you throw at the bad guys. Yes. It's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. You're basically running away from shit the entire time.
I did a lot of that.
Yeah.
That's what you kind of learn halfway through the game is that you don't kill everybody. You just kind of go till the next till you get to the next spotlight. But
that's why I didn't do so well.
Yeah.
Because you don't kill everybody.
At a certain point, you just need to go.
Yeah.
You just run.
You don't need to kill everything. You need to haul ass.
I was making fun of the sales.
Oh.
Because most people are like, oh, I'm going to go in this room and I'm going to kill everybody. Then I'm going to go to the next room and do the same thing.
Yeah.
Opposite.
I know that once I beat that game, I carried my mag light around for a week and shined it at my wife to try and make her disappear.
Oh. Brutal.
to make the darkness go away.
Just kidding. I love you. So the last thing I wanted to add to this news, I kind of threw it in there last second. We were talking about this in the car. Scott, have you heard about beacons?
Bacon? I love bacon.
Bacon's delicious. Bacon. But have you heard about beacons?
No, what is this?
Well, they're beacons, cool. It's cool. It's something that's coming to Xbox Live within the next couple weeks.
The 15th is the update, isn't it?
Is it?
I thought it was 15th.
Next couple days.
Okay. Let's hear about it.
I could be wrong.
One of the things with the new update, other than the new dashboard, which looks all pretty and streamlined and glossy.
Is this to Xbox Live or to Xbox.com?
Both.
Live.
Both. Because I saw something about Xbox.com.
Both.
XboxLive.com has already been updated.
Are they going to metro this dashboard?
Yes. Yep.
Sweet.
This week.
I'm down.
Yeah. So beacons like are the things that I'm most excited about. And basically what you do is, say I go on and I'm like, man, I really want to play with everybody. The only time I have to play this week is Friday at 6 p.m. I'd love to set up like a Gears of War 3 session. I'll add a beacon to my profile that says, hey, Friday at 6 o'clock p.m., I'm going to be playing Gears of War 3. Everybody on my friends list can see my beacon, and they can add if they're going to join that beacon or not. And
not to be a jerk, but doesn't this sound like something that should have been in this functionality from day one on Xbox Live?
And then I hadn't even, like, to be make fun of myself, I hadn't even really thought about it, like, how great that would be. But recently I've been like trying to set up sessions and like get people to play certain games with me.
Yeah, but you have to go, you know, you've taken to like Twitter and Facebook.
And that makes it more challenging. But if everyone that's on your Xbox Live list can see what game you're going to be playing when, they might be able to, you know, alter their schedule and have it match up with yours in a really simple fashion.
Yeah, I mean, the point is that the planning should take place in the place that you're actually playing the game, not on some other social networking service. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree.
So this is awesome.
There was a third-party chat program that you could do that on PC with Crossfire or Xfire, depending on how you want to say it.
I remember that.
You could set up things sort of like that.
I remember that, but that was like a pain in the ass.
It was, yes.
Yeah, I remember you and I had that for a while.
But it was, you know, a precursor to all of this, I suppose.
Yeah, good stuff. So I'm excited for beacons. I'm excited for the new dashboard stuff.
Not to go off on a tangent, but there's something before that called Kali. Do you remember that?
Nope.
No, I don't.
Kali was it was kind of like what GameSpy became.
Oh, okay.
Where it was like back in the day where you couldn't actually really play Duke Nukem online with other people, or there was no way to connect to other people. Like,
yeah.
Kali was a service like that. It was a separate program that you ran.
And it'd link IPs or something?
That could help you link games together so that you could actually play multiplayer Duke Nukem with people when it wasn't really possible.
That's crazy.
So it supported games like that and Descent. And
Or you'd actually have to. I remember looking through, and this is the olden days, looking through old like IP lists of people that you could link up with. There was a game that was done by, maybe you guys remember this. This is really old, but it was done I want to say id, and it was a first person shooter that was a kung fu game, and you had like Chinese stars.
Oh, I remember.
It might have been 3D Realms. I think it was 3D Realms, not id.
That sounds really familiar.
It was like Way of the Sword, you threw Chinese stars, and it was like kind of like tongue in cheek. And like you could like karate chop people and have like throwing fans. I don't know, we gotta look it up. But that game was so much fun. I remember playing that online with people and just having a blast. But it was very Duke Nukem-esque, so that's why I'm thinking it was 3D Realms.
Good times.
Was it Serious Sam?
It wasn't Serious Sam. It was pre-Serious Sam. So I'm thinking probably 94, 95. That's a long time ago.
I was just playing Super Nintendo at that point.
Yeah.
Or Genesis.
I remember linking up. With my friend Mark, we used to link up Doom, and we used to use printer cables to hook two PCs together.
That's what I'm talking about.
So we can land that shit. Big old printer cables. That was fun.
So Beacons, thank God.
Yeah, Beacons, good stuff.
Oh, how things have changed.
Yeah.
All right, so I think maybe now's a good time for a music drop.
All right.
And we'll be back with some reviews.
All right.
It is not my fault that I like Patton Oswalt. It is not a crime that I've got raw pupil on my mind. And if it's wrong, don't tell me how, 'cause I'm not gonna stop liking Judd Apatow. 'Cause I am a girl who is in love with comedians.
All right, you guys just heard Cosby Sweater with her new song, Comedians. Go check her out at bandcamp.com. She's a lot of fun. Thank you very much. So we're back with some reviews.
What have you guys been playing?
11-11-11.
11. You want to hear an 11-11-11 story real quick?
Oh, I have one after you. Yeah, after you.
So I was teaching, and I'm able to put up the numbers, big digital numbers up on the screen. And it was 11-11-11, and it was 11-11-10 in the morning. And my students didn't know what I was doing. All of a sudden, these big numbers flash up on the screen. I turned all the lights off, and I'm like, it's about to happen. And like I'm like, gather around. And we all started taking pictures of the screen with all the big numbers, and the kids thought it was about the coolest thing ever.
Like 5-11.
The worst fucking thing is I went to take a picture, and I mistimed it. And my picture is 11-11-10. Lame. On 11-11-11.
We had a second chance.
I ruined it. I know, but then I was playing Skyrim, so I didn't get this fucking... Fuck that. So what about your story, Scott?
Except for I'd never have a second chance because I use 24 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
It was just one of those like weird moment where I was like out at dinner, and it was kind of like at a bar, like an American bar, and a group of like dudes comes in behind me, and they order like, you know, three flights of beer. And the one guy's talking to his buddies like... Bruh, he's like, today's like, you know, 11-11-11, so it's like 3-11 day, and you know, like 3-11 did a concert on March 11th, and you know, because it's like 3-11 day, they put the concert like out for free on Facebook, bruh. And I was like, all right.
Oh man,
good.
3-11 still relevant?
Isn't that whatever? Like 3-11?
Well, I don't even remember. They were the guys with like the nice hair, right?
Yeah,
I remember they had like shiny hair, and they had like a really whimsical font.
And it wasn't. I mean, like I don't even have a beef with 3-11. Like
I feel like it was graffiti font.
The music is fun.
Oh man, I want to sing it so bad right now, but I can't think of the words.
Yeah, but
it was kind of ska-esque, right?
Kinda, yeah. And they do like the little rapping, little rap, ribbity rap-tastic.
Yeah, they're a little rappish.
So, anyways, that was my 11-11-11 story. But Skyrim came out.
That's a reach,
Skyrim.
Though.
Yeah, that's well, that was a good segue to Skyrim, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, good.
So, I was not going to pick up Skyrim. I was actually I wasn't excited about Skyrim up until a couple days ago.
I'm surprised you picked it up after the ass beating that you were handed from the readers.
Yeah. So I wrote a review of Skyrim at PAX, and it wasn't by any means a negative review of Skyrim. I literally just said, I'm terrible at this game. I don't get what the fuck's going on. There's too much. I had 20 minutes to learn the whole system, and I'm probably 10 hours in, and I still don't know the system, so it's complicated. It's a complicated
game.
But
when you did this review at PAX, you don't know anything about the, you didn't know anything about the game.
No.
Right? And there's like people who like know the lore inside and out.
I mean, so in those people's defense, if I read a review, someone wrote something of like a Dragon Age or a Mass Effect or like a BioWare product, which I know a lot about, and they, even in a tongue-in-cheek manner, were like, what is going on? Why are these, what are these people all about? I would probably maybe tease them a little bit, but my God.
But you did not get teased.
The Elder Scroll community basically abused me with a broom handle. They really did. They hated my review so much, and it was kind of nice. I was like, man,
it's endearing.
I'm like, I don't even want to get Skyrim now. They're so mean to me.
They scared you away.
And then I've been hearing so many positive things about it. And in all honesty, I never played any of the Elder Scrolls games before. I don't know why I never did. I've always been a big RPG player, but for some reason I never picked them up.
I can tell you why, because I think 20% of the people that have tried to play Oblivion get through the part where you get through the cave and they take you through the tutorial and then they dump you out onto the mountainside and they're like, go.
100% of that game.
And then you just go, like, go do what? And they're just like, go.
Yeah. Well, that's what...
And at that point, I turn the console off.
Yeah, that's kind of what Skyrim is like. It's just kind of like, go. But, I mean, they do set you up with a little bit of a narrative. There's definitely, it's not just you're in a cave and then go. You know something's going on. But not knowing much of the backstory of the world, it was kind of like a figure it out as I go. Maybe 5 hours in, I kind of get where the game is going, the reason I picked up Skyrim is really for a very juvenile reason. I was reading the
Nerve Herpes. You needed to eat some sweet chili Doritos?
That too. Man, I needed some sweet chili Doritos. But I was reading the Twitter feed a couple days ago, and some of the at Nerd Appropriate Twitter feed, and some of the people were sending pictures and stuff back and forth. They're like, check it out. I just found out you can become a werewolf in Skyrim. And I was like, a werewolf? I was like, I really like werewolves. And I'm like, this is pre-Twilight, chesty teenager werewolves. I like old school.
Like World of Darkness.
American Werewolf in London, like badass werewolves. I've always been a werewolf kid. As a matter of fact, fifth grade Halloween, I was a fat little werewolf kid. And it was pretty awesome. Nice. It was pretty awesome. So,
were you mistaken for an Ewok?
Probably. The worst part is, I still remember, I had like a red football jersey on, and I had the big mask and the big like rubbery hands. And I remember my teacher wanted me to take the rubber hands off so I could do work. And I said, "No, I'm a werewolf. I'm not taking them off." And I got in a lot of trouble because I refused to take my fucking hands off. I was like, "I am a werewolf today, bitch. You step off."
That's pure dedication, right there.
Are there pictures of this costume anywhere?
Yeah, I think there are. Man.
I need to see those.
That's amazing.
It's fucking terrible. But so I found out you could be a werewolf, and I'm like, man, I really want to be a werewolf. So I picked it up, and I got home last night from work, probably around like 4 or 5 o'clock, and Derek was playing Battlefield, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So we had a nice long 4 or 5 hour Battlefield session, and then I was like, I'm going to plug in Skyrim and try it, right? So I plug in Skyrim, and I play for maybe 3 hours, and then I just black out because I'd been awake since 4 in the morning.
Yikes.
Right? So I black out. Well, I wake up at like 1 in the morning and I'm like, I'm gonna play a little bit more, right?
Oh my God.
I fucking wake up at 1 in the morning.
When games do that?
I stumble outside, and this is a true story. I stumble outside to urinate because I go out and pee with my dogs. I stumble outside to urinate, and I think I told Derek this earlier. I think I had like a minor stroke or something.
Oh my God.
Because I started like getting really lightheaded and faint. And
because you slept for 3 hours in like 24 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours. And all I've had at this point is, The new Doritos, what are they called?
The sweet chili Doritos.
sweet chili Doritos.
Were you drinking energy drinks as
I've
well?
I've had, at that point today, I'm not even kidding, I had 4 energy drinks.
I think that's the reason why you felt
and
that way.
And probably about 50 ounces of Mountain Dew. So I was standing,
good Lord,
leaning on the pillar of my
Hello, diabetes.
Yeah, I'm fucking going to die. Well, it's all diet, by the way. Diet Mountain Dews and diet energy drinks. Okay. So I'm leaning on the back pillar of my porch, and I start to feel like really like faint and lightheaded, and like I literally almost blacked out, and I'm like clinging to this pillar, and then I got like the cold sweats, and then I went inside and like fell on the couch. And, like, I laid there, and I'm like, I'll just play Skyrim before I die.
This is the best review of a video game ever.
I'll just play Skyrim before I die. So I stayed up from 1 till 8:30 this morning playing Skyrim. And then I slept.
And you were online when I woke up.
And then I
and you probably didn't get anywhere in the game.
I know. And then, really? And then I slept from 8:30 till about 9:45. And then I was up. And then I played the rest of the day. Yeah, and so I feel really good right now.
I heard that this game has, like, infinite quests, because there's a quest generation system in the game.
Well, okay, here's what I really do enjoy about it. In terms of character creation, I had a really specific idea of what I wanted to play. I've always had an affinity for orcs. I've always loved orcs. I don't know why. I think they're great. And so you can play as an orc in this, and I love that. So I'm like, I'm going to be something that I normally am not in these games. I'm going to just be a big, like, badass brawler type. You know, I'm just going to make myself an orc, and I just want to be able to cut through waves of enemies with a big axe and just make it a simple thing. So I built that, okay? So you don't pick a character class. All you basically do is pick your race, and your race has...
You kind of just develop into that.
Yeah, and you develop as you level. You can put your skill points pretty much anywhere that you want and kind of tweak your character as you want. So as I'm going through, I'm discovering what I want to do a little bit more as the game kind of unfolds. And I'm like, well, I want to make myself into sort of like a Death Knight, where I have like dark control powers and I can raise the dead. And I'm, you know, full plate armor, big axe, but now I can create zombies, right?
It's an honorable profession.
It is.
Yep.
And so I, you know, I'm able to do that, and I'm on this really massive, you know, this massive world you can explore, tons to see. It looks beautiful. And I can turn into a werewolf. What?
Solid.
And it was awesome looking.
Yeah, I showed Derek my werewolf.
So what's the verdict? What, I mean, how do you, obviously you like this game.
Yeah. You know, in terms of raw narrative, there's not much going on. It's definitely, it doesn't have that emotional, like.
This is kind of sandboxy though, is it not?
It is massive sandboxy. That's the thing. Like all these sandbox games that we talk about this, can a sandbox game have that level of emotion of a linear game? And I don't really think that they can. There is, you know, all the parts are obviously voiced. Your main protagonist is silent. He doesn't talk. You know, so that's always kind of a bummer for me. But it is it's a lot of fun. There's a lot to see, a lot to explore. You never know, like, if you can beat a monster. So it's kind of like that. Oh, can I kill this now? So
you
just go into a cave. You don't know what the fuck's in the cave, and you're just going to explore the cave, and hopefully you can kill what's on the other side of that wall and see what there is to see. But it's really cool. It's really well done. It looks great. Combat is, you know, it's not my favorite.
First-person melee.
First-person melee, yeah.
It kind of sounds like it's a MMORPG without the MO part.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit like that. And, yeah. Some cool stuff that it does, and the easiest way for me just to describe it, having not played Oblivion, is this is pretty much Fallout 3 in, like, fantasy land.
Medieval times.
Yeah, I mean, it even has, like, Derek saw it this afternoon. It has, like, a, when you get critical strikes in melee, it does, like, a VATS slow motion, camera zoom out.
Okay.
It looks phenomenal.
Makes sense.
Depending on what weapon you have, like, you have a sword, you'll, like, run somebody through the stomach and, like, do, like, a flip and all this cool stuff. So it, you know, Skyrim, I think, even only being, like, 10, 11 hours into it, it is a pretty stellar game in terms of what they accomplished on the Xbox 360. It looks great. It plays great. I think the character customization would make for a pretty much limitless experience.
With the character creation, do you pick signs and things like that? Like, to kind of make your character? And I don't, because you didn't play Oblivion, but in Oblivion, when you create your character, you pick, like, the stars that you were born under? Which
No, you actually don't. You don't do that. Oh. Each, you can choose the, you know, literally every single aspect of your character's appearance, from, like, size of their, you know, their nose holes to, like, their height and weight and all that kind of stuff. You can do all of that.
I sense the shepherd coming back.
Oh, yeah. Derek's first shepherd was, like, hideously deformed.
Oh, man.
And his name was The.
The, yeah. I was like, Derek, you got to come over. There's this cool new game, Mass Effect. You need to try the character generator. It's awesome. And he creates this hideous, like, bog beast. I don't even know what the fuck it was.
Who saves the galaxy.
Yeah, saves the galaxy. But so, yeah, I'm really digging it. And there's a lot of variety with you know, the different races. The cat people, especially.
Man, here you go again.
Those cat people. This is one thing that the Elder Scrolls community got mad at me, because I didn't know the name of
the cat
people.
So he was just like, the beast guy and the cat dudes were attacking me, and then like...
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, are you fools? they are not beast men and cat men. They are Khajiits. Not Khajiits. Khajiits. And I'm just like, I don't fucking... It's a beast dude and a cat dude. I don't know. But anyway, it's a great game. I love your Elder Scrolls community.
So... To each their own, right?
To each their
There's
own.
Always gonna be
it's
fans.
Awesome. It's great. And I'm sorry I undermined the seriousness of this franchise before. I think it's great.
Well, there's no segue, but I wanted to talk about the Rayman Origins demo that is out on Xbox Live right now. The reason I actually found out about this through social media, and this is kind of how I became interested in it. And I saw that Ubisoft was tweeting about it, and I just thought, like, oh, it's going to be another Wii game, like Raving Rabbids, like children party game or whatever. And then I saw it was on Xbox Live, and I thought, well, what the hell, you know? Because I remember that Rayman was a good platformer back in the Super Nintendo days. So downloaded this game, and it's actually a lot of fun. And it's not... But like what I kind of I wrote about it on the website, and the thing that I kept saying is that I made all these assumptions about the game before I even played it, and then I turned out to be wrong about like all of my assumptions. So, you know, because pretty much the only thing that you're going to compare this to is like a Mario game, you know, and it's not a Mario game. It's this game is actually like a 2D side scroller, like old school platformer.
Oh, cool.
Like the art, like the selling points of this game are the artwork. Like the art style. So it's kind of got like the characters kind of look like almost like Ren and Stimpy characters, because they're like super animated and just like weird characters. Like the animations they perform are kind of like over the top. The environments are kind of have like this like cell shady oil painting kind of thing. So like,
so what is, in terms of platforming, what is Rayman's hook?
He has no limbs.
Is that his thing?
Yeah. He has no limbs.
He's just like, his hands and feet are like kind of like ghost hands. And,
yeah.
Okay.
The game has like three buttons. Aside from movement, you can sprint, you can jump, and you can attack.
Okay.
But somehow that creates like a game that is really kind of like fun and engaging. It is a platformer. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to get from the start of level to the end of level. You're going to collect something while you're going through that level, like coins or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What do you collect in Rayman?
I don't even know what they're called. See, here's the thing. It's like, if there's hardcore Rayman fans out there, like Elder Scrolls fans are going to get mad at me because...
Don't you call those Samophlange's lobes of bread?
Yeah.
Those are Samophlange's.
That's a good segue for Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
There's something that looks like a bug. They're like fireflies or something that you collect. Okay. I don't know what they are, but they're coins, okay? So let's just talk about it in terms people can understand.
Rings.
You collect coins, rings, you know, rings and stars, right?
Yeah.
So there's stuff you need to collect in the levels. There's stuff that's like hidden that you need to find. And then I think you can actually play the game for speed and get like more stars or like more like check marks on that level or whatever.
Okay.
So there's that. But what was cool is that like the second level, the demo has three levels. The second level was like an old school like side scroller space shooter, like a Gradius kind of game. So they introduced like a completely different game mechanic, and that's when I realized that's something that Ubisoft does. That's like something that happens in Rayman games, is that it's not always just run from one side of the level to the other. And then the other thing I found out about it when I completed the demo is that it's going to have 4-player multiplayer.
Oh, wow, cool.
That's cool.
Which is something that like they tried in the new Super Mario Brothers game, and it was fun. But infuriating. It was infuriating, right. But I still think that there's room to improve on this dynamic. So it's kind of like awesome to see.
And it's, if I remember, I saw this at PAX Prime demoed for a little bit. Aren't there 4 different characters you play as each with
there's 5 or 6 different, like they call them suits, I guess, but okay. Like they're, I mean, they do look like different characters. They do appear to have different abilities.
Cool.
I was only able really to be Rayman, and I played single player, so I don't know.
Does the demo have multiplayer?
I'm not entirely certain because I couldn't really tell because the demo just kind of throws you into it.
So you just start right away?
Yeah.
Because
there's like a, you know, like other platformers, this game has a world map where you travel from level to level, and then the levels, you know, like, but everything, what's cool is that everything looks awesome. Like the art style is like dead on, and then the music is like fun, which is weird. You know, like,
yeah,
you don't usually like stop and notice the music when you're playing a game like that. And I did that multiple times.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of like, I was impressed. So, I mean, like, if platforming's your thing and like you've, you know, you want something other than Mario, like this is it. Like, cause it's awesome. It'll be good. And I mean, there's not a lot of platformers on, like Xbox and PlayStation that I'm aware of that aren't like downloadable titles. Like this is a full.
I think the era of, you know, those big platformers is sadly over.
Yeah. And this is like a total throwback. So
I mean, like Crash is gone. Sonic's pretty much gone for the most part.
Or I'm trying to bring it back one more time. Aren't they?
Sonic?
Yeah, there's a Sonic that just came out. But the games, like, so a lot of these games that do exist now, like, take place in a 3D environment.
Yeah.
So that's the difference, is that this one doesn't go that way. Yeah. It's like it goes backward, you know, to the roots and kind of improves on it using, like, current-gen technology.
Very cool.
Do you want to talk about Uncharted 3?
Ooh.
Sure, I don't know anything about it. Other than it's probably awesome.
Yeah, newsflash, right, exactly. Did you ever play... You played Uncharted 1 and 2,
I right? did, and I completed them both.
They are excellent. So you probably remember that in Uncharted 1, the gunplay was not so great.
And yeah, there was a little bit left to be
like
desired.
The control like left something to be desired. So in the second game, they introduced like hand-to-hand combat, like stealth combat, and like a better gun system. And pretty much the third game just continues to build on that. So they made the fighting system a little more robust. They made the stealth combat like moves a little more robust. Like you can do more in stealth now. That's which is cool. And what's kind of cool about this game is that it's not, I wouldn't call this game a shooter. I would call it like an action game. So it's got elements from all of those games. There's like the Tomb Raider elements, like Prince of Persia style, where you have to like do the grappling and figure out which way to climb to get from one place to another. You know, it's got the gunplay and then it's got combat. But the thing that makes this game awesome is that it's like you're watching a movie. It's kind of like a Indiana Jones for a modern generation kind of thing. You know what I mean? And it's just as much fun to watch as it is to play. And the thing that I really wanted to bring up about this game is that there have been multiple times in the game where like for like a split second, my brain goes, that is real. Like it looks
amazing.
Like at certain points, you'll turn the camera a certain way and the sun will flare down and cast a shadow the right way. And you'll be like, this is like, it really looks like I'm looking at people. Like,
yeah, that's unbelievable.
They kind of achieve some weird, like photorealistic quality in this game that really makes it,
which
like,
is crazy to think that in the next, you know, year or two, there's going to be another console that's going to go above and beyond this generation's graphics. It's like, where do you go when you're pretty much photorealistic?
I know exactly where we go.
Oh no.
Do you remember Night Trap?
Yes, live action.
Yeah. That's where we go.
Dana Plato.
Yeah.
Poor Dana Plato. RIP. Continue.
But it's cool because they do a good job of keeping the tension even in the canned sequences. So there are a lot of parts in the game where you're climbing and clearly like, you know, you're not going to die, but like Nathan Drake will jump up to grab something and like the ledge he grabs kind of gives away and he slips a little bit and you kind of have to find another way to get up the same path. And it's just stuff like that they do in the game that make it great. There's something else I wanted to add that I think is really cool is the way that they handle the character animations in this game.
Yeah.
Where it's like a lot of the times you will take your avatar and you'll just run through a level and it's like sometimes you'll bump a wall, you're kind of like nudge into like some low cover and you were going to...
Well, you just reminded me of something. I think it was the first one when you would go in and out of water, you'd actually come out wet.
Yeah.
And think that, I mean, I'm sure 3 is a lot better than 1 and 2.
Yeah, so... In this game, like when you get close to the wall, he actually puts his hands out to like brush the wall. So if you start running at the wall, he'll kind of put his arm out, kind of like push off and then like keep running.
It's pretty awesome.
Or if you run by something that is like not game relevant, but like to the character, like if this were real, if there's something like interesting to the character, he'll run, but then he'll kind of like look backwards while he's running. Or like if he's with, like they do a good job of doing these canned sequences where there's like four people together, you and three NPCs. Mm-hmm. And they do a good job of keeping everyone together and making it look like they're having a conversation and not just like dialogue that's playing in your speakers and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
And this kind of like a testament to why there need to, I mean, like it's cool to have multi-platform games, but this is a reason why, like exclusive games need to exist because they can do things in this game that are optimized for the PlayStation. Like there's an in-game audio setting that's like setting up a Blu-ray. You can, it's not like, oh, do you want stereo surround? It's like, do you want Dolby Digital or PCM or, yeah, you know, DTS surround? And it's like, that's something that you can't, that doesn't exist on Xbox. So it's just like these little touches into what you can do with the PS3 is like what makes this game amazing.
Yeah, no, I mean, in terms of the narrative, not to give away any spoilers, but did you find it to be as satisfying as Uncharted 2?
Well, I'm about, I think I'm about halfway through the game, or at least a third of the way through the game.
I heard it's about 10 hours.
Yeah, that's kind of what they always are, and that's about right, because it's an action movie, more or less, that you experience, you know? Yeah. And they do seem to be going sort of like with a more emotional route for this story.
Okay.
And they kind of like keep hinting at something that I hope doesn't really play out the way that they're, I hope it's kind of like a red herring kind of thing, but there's definitely some emotion in this game. And because it's the third game, there's actually points in the game where they kind of take the piss out of themselves, where it's like the guy that you're with, Sully, like always has to light the torches for you. And at one point he says something to Nathan, he's like, are you ever going to get a lighter? Like, what's the deal? Cause like every game we light torches and you don't have a lighter on you. So they do stuff like that too. So
that's awesome.
It's a lot of fun. So if you're a fan of the series, like obviously you're playing this game already, but if you're not, like, it's not too late. I'm not playing it yet. It's good.
Claudia Black, still one of the main characters.
Which one is she?
She was a brunette in 2.
She's in a lot of this game.
Oh, good.
Yeah, at least in the beginning. So
she's in Dragon Age and Gears.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So she's one of my favorite voice actresses.
Cool.
Yeah. So all in all, you played a good deal of the multiplayer as well. Have you tried that since the game's been out?
Yeah, I did. I don't think it's too different.
I think your level carries over and everything.
Yeah, the level carries over. I think they capped the subway promotion at 35. So I don't know what the ceiling is now. It's probably like 50.
Did you unlock the $5 foot long taunt?
I did not. You actually have to, like, in the multiplayer now, there are treasures that you can collect. They just randomly spawn on the map.
For those that are not here, Derek is dying.
You made that up.
No, it's a real thing. That's a real thing.
So, yeah. like, what they do in multiplayer now is that treasure randomly spawns on the map. So, like, amidst all this fighting, you can just run, like, into the corner of the map and just, like, look for something. So, like, everyone's chasing towards this treasure simultaneously.
Yeah.
But if you collect three, like, complementary pieces of treasure, like, throughout your entire multiplayer campaign, like, it'll unlock things like guns and taunts. And
that's really cool.
So if you collect, like, the three subway items, you can do, like, the $5 foot-long taunt, like, in the game.
That's pretty awesome. I like the idea of randomly dropping treasure.
Do you have access to those items in any other way? Or do you have to find them in game like that?
I think you find them like in multiplayer, competitive multiplayer.
I guess I'll never have those.
Well, they're not that hard to get. Like they're really, it's really not as bad as you think.
Is it like 12 on 12?
No, I think the teams are smaller than that. I think it's like 6-on-6.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. So it kind of makes more for like a team based game and not like a free for all. Because if you actually, like, if you actually do buddy up with somebody, like, if you start following somebody and they realize that now you guys are working together, it's pretty formidable. Like, if two or three people run together, because there's only, like, six or seven aside.
Yeah, I can see that. Do you have a headset for your PS3?
I do not.
Oh.
And, I mean, it's what I've heard of the audio is not too much different from what you hear in any other.
Well, I was more saying for you and I to play Uncharted 3 together. Oh, no,
I mean, I will certainly get one, but it is a lot of like, I don't want to do that map. Pick the other map. Pick the other map. You know, and you're like, mute all. Yeah.
I do have, when we start talking about Battlefield 3 in a minute, I have an amazing Battlefield 3 multiplayer story.
Well, let's talk about Battlefield 3 because, you know, Uncharted 3 is awesome, so, you know, that's
Okay, no-brainer. It actually is a pretty decent segue. I hadn't gotten a chance to play with my normal online group of folks yet just because of work schedule conflicts. So I've been playing with pickup groups. And the other night, I had a pretty unique pickup group.
Is this like squad? You're talking about being in a squad or just being on
squad,
a team?
Yeah, a squad of random people. Okay. And it just so happened I was with the same squad for a good hour, hour and a half with just random folks. One kid was about, well, I know exactly how old he was because he told me. He was 12.
Oh, no.
He was 12. And the other guy was Big Fun Stunna was his name. Big Fun Stunna. And he was a little bit older than 12. I want to say he's probably in his mid-20s. So it was just the three of us. It was the 12-year-old kid, Big Fun Stunna, and me. And it was actually a pretty unique online shooter experience because the kid would do nothing but fly planes, but he wasn't very good in the beginning. And so he would
the downside to Battlefield.
I'm going to the plane, you guys.
That's exactly the entire. Okay, guys, I'm going to be in the plane. Make sure you spot that tank. Make sure you spot that tank. Okay, I'm going to shoot the tank. I'm shooting the tank, guys. I'm shooting the tank. And the whole time, I'm like, I'm a pretty patient guy because I have to deal with that pretty much every day. But I'm thinking, like, Stunna is going to, like, lose his marbles. But he'd be like, he's like, all right, I'm tagging it for you. And the three of us became very good friends by the end of it.
Like a little motley crew.
It was so weird. Like, he crash landed and, like, was like screaming, you know, because he crashed his plane. He's like, my plane, you know, and we were, instead of like being mad at him, we're like, it's okay, man, we'll camp the plane for you. And so we helped him camp the plane, and we got the plane back for him, and he was happy. And then oh, what happened in the end? It was so damn funny. Oh, in the end, it was classic, and this is 100% serious. I hear his mom in the background.
Oh,
and I'm gonna do a recreation. You get the fuck off that machine! You get the fuck off of it! Help me with the groceries! And then you hear him, and he's still in the plane, right? So you hear this, and you see the plane flying overhead, and you hear that happening. And so he's like, I think I can make it in time. So you just see, the plane flying overhead, and you hear him get off his headset. The headset like drops, right? And then he goes staggering, and you see the plane slowly starting to nosedive, and you're like, is he going to make it back in time? Is he going to make it? And then slowly the plane pulls up. He's like, he's like, I made it.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing. The fucking plane didn't crash. It was so awesome. So times like that are what make online gaming so much fun. But
what is there to say after that?
I mean, I don't know. I just broke the podcast. But
I feel like that's a holy Battlefield experience, though. Like
that,
I never felt anything like that happened in Call of Duty.
That's the thing.
Or
and that is
any other of the online games like that.
That is like the perfect segue to talking about these games, though. Is like Battlefield seems to breed, and you know, Scott, you and I have played together in Bad Company and stuff like that. They breed just ridiculous, like idiotic moments that you don't take as seriously as a Call of Duty, maybe because the world is much bigger and you have that freedom to like go lay in a ditch, you know, and you know, pace yourself and take your time.
There's something about squad, you know, putting people on teams within a team, forcing them to communicate. I think.
And the fact that you can always spawn your teammates and you're never, you know, you're never really, you know,
Aaron, no.
It's just different. It's a different type of experience. So finally, Derek and I did get to play Battlefield 3 this past week. So let's talk about that.
It was fun.
Did somebody run around with an ammo bag or med kit?
That was me, actually.
Yeah, I'm that guy. Yeah.
We actually did a really awesome job holding one flag from one poor guy the entire game.
Yeah, we played, what's the mode called? Not Conquest. Is it Conquest?
Yeah, it was Conquest.
It's Conquest. And Conquest is basically pretty much capture the flag.
But there's a lot of flags, right? Yeah. You just have to hold them as long as you can.
Yes.
But they did something this time around where landmines don't despawn.
Oh, nice.
So
yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's ridiculous. So we had this entire base lit up with landmines, probably like 50 landmines. And I don't know, we just got dozens of kills with like jackasses and jeeps just like cruising into the base and these like fireworks. And it makes you laugh every single time, you know?
So, well, we worked together well too with Rob. I mean, I was playing as the support class, which has the ammo box. And then Ash and Rob were both playing as engineers. So they had rockets and mines, and I was just replenishing them. And
that's right.
Anytime they were getting shot at by some other like infantry that I could see, I would just mow them down, and it worked out really well.
It was good. If you can like balance an actual team in that game, they do a pretty stellar job of making all of the classes work together like crazy. I mean, because you ideally, if you had a medic, if somebody went down, you could heal them or, you know, bring them back up, and you could have, you know, the sniper class or recon class, you know, give them a mobile spawn point just in case everybody goes down. So, the Battlefield games have gotten the squad combat down to an absolute science, I think, at this point.
I also like the fact that it has, like, it's objective-based competitive multiplayer, not just a deathmatch.
They do have deathmatch, though.
Well, I mean, a lot of people...
If you really want to.
Yeah, but a lot of people can't grasp the concept of doing that. You know what I mean? Like, you get into, like, a capture the flag, and people are still just, like, spawn camping, and you're like, what are you doing? You're not even...
Well, it still happens.
Oh, yeah, of course. But I wish more people would do what you guys did, where it's like, okay, we're just going to capture this flag. Well, and hold it, because that's our team, you know?
Yeah. Well, defending, that's the thing that people really...
Don't
want
to do.
Very rarely will do.
Yeah, because I think that's like the Call of Duty mentality. You know what I mean?
Well, everyone wants to be Rambo.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, that is true.
No one wants to be the guy in the back.
That is true. Ew. Anyway. So Battlefield 3 is an absolute blast. This is the first Call of Duty game I haven't picked up. Call of Duty came out last week. Haven't gotten it.
Well, you play World of War and Call of Duty 3?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yeah, I did.
Call of Duty seems like it's becoming like the Nickelback of
video
games. It's kind of
like
games,
the sports game of first-person shooters.
Never made it as a wise man.
Yeah.
And couldn't cut it as a poor man.
You're like,
dreaming.
I think I've heard that song already. Didn't you guys already write that song?
Yeah, it was something we put up on the site. I called it the Groundhog Day that is Call of Duty, where it's like every year there's like, and now you get more perks and you get, you know, better airstrikes, and I'm just like, it's becoming like the Madden of the shooter franchise.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, so
we just updated the rosters for this year's Modern Warfare.
Now we have more Spetsnaz, and So I don't know. I not to diss Call of Duty, because I've played all of them.
Well, there are people in both camps, you know?
Yeah. And I think there's a place for both games. But in terms of having fun and like laughing with friends and community, you know, I had fun playing with that weird 12-year-old kid and big stun of Papa, whatever his name was.
Awesome.
The physics definitely make for fun moments, when you shoot a guy and you kill him so hard, his body flies into the sky.
Yeah.
Or when it sounds like a bug.
But
you know, you'll see someone get shot with a tank shell, and like their body will just go phew off into the air, and it's like, oh well, there he goes.
That would probably actually happen.
And he'd probably be vaporized.
Yeah.
But then also, just when you're running around, and you see like, I think we were watching the dog fight. The one, like we were just running around. There's like a whole dog fight happening overhead. Just things like that don't happen in other games.
Yeah, it's very true.
That's cool.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, well, we're going to take a little brief break and come back with our open thread, which is all about massive multiplayer online RPG games, better known as
More Pig.
Yeah, More Pigs. So we'll be back in a couple minutes with some MMO talk. Thank you.
My first crush was Pee Wee Herman, and now I'm on to Eugene Herman. I don't know how it happened so fast, but I got feelings for Martin Starr, and they're gonna last. Tell me it's okay to like Louis C.K.
Alright guys, we're back. We're here for the final part of episode 43, the open thread about massive multiplayer online role-playing games. Derek.
Yes.
Let's start with you.
You said that you might not get the Old Republic. What's up with that?
I know this is going to sound like a horribly, I don't know, wrong statement, but I don't like playing to pay, even though I do have an Xbox Live Gold account.
Paying to play? Okay, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Paying
well,
to play.
Yeah, I mean...
And I understand that it's, you know, for bandwidth, and they give you all the... I know World of Warcraft, they did free... like holiday events and things like that. I don't know. I never played, so.
Yeah, they did.
And I understand it's for server maintenance and.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things.
But does the allure of playing with all your buddies, like on such game, I mean, or are you just going to be like, well, I'll do that in Battlefield instead?
Yeah. I get it on Xbox Live.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm kind of like into this whole like doing quests together as a team. I feel like with the Old Republic, we're going to be playing D&D on the computer together.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I don't know. I don't want to invest too much more in computers that are capable of playing games either.
That's
the thing. Like, I feel like I'm getting more and more into the console.
There's certainly a monetary barrier because you have to get a computer and then you have to pay the subscription and you have to buy the game, which is going to be like $60, yeah, like straight up, or $150 if you want like the whole shebang.
Yes,
it is not cheap. So you're not going to be picking up Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Probably not.
Wow.
I'm also torn because I've heard through the grapevine, maybe Matt told me this, that you, Ash, are going Sith.
Yes.
And Scott is going to go Republic.
Well, no. I mean, Ash started a Empire guild. So, I mean, I will join this guild and play Empire. But
see, that's what I don't understand how that works because, I know there was a big to-do because I wanted to also join the Republic because I wanted to be a smuggler.
We can have an alt.
Yes. You can create many, many different characters.
Can you have mixed faction guilds?
No.
Oh, really?
No. Your guild has to stay one faction.
So we should just, let's just start an alternate guild once the game starts.
Absolutely.
And then have Republic characters.
It's really fun if you do it. We did that back in the day in Warcraft. We had an alternate guild on another server that was an Alliance guild. And we would only play together at set times, so we were always on the same level.
Always
do the same quest, and that made it really fun.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, because you're always with the same group, and you always just did stuff together. And if one person got behind, they would just catch up on their own time. And make
join
sure
the next
same
one.
Yeah, so that worked out really well. That's what I think that is the allure of an MMO is having that community. And having the richness and the depth of a role-playing game, but being able to play that game with your friends. Imagine like playing a game like a Dragon Age or a Mass Effect with all those decisions and that depth, but also having like your best buddies there with you. So that's why I think Star Wars is going to work out.
I think I also, coming from the last MMO I played was Planetside.
Oh, okay.
And the bottom of that kind of dropped out from under me as everyone's like, "Oh, what's this World of Warcraft?" And I was like left holding Planetside by myself. Like,
yes.
I feel like with this game in particular, the bottom is not going to drop out.
Yeah. There's also the issue of my work schedule. So I feel like I'm going to miss out on half of everything that happens because I might not be able to get online while I'm at work.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would hope that there would be enough people like in our circle or in anybody's circle for that matter, but you know, you would have enough people in your circle that every time you jump on there would be someone.
Yeah,
you know, like even if it's not like, obviously there's probably going to be a core guild and then we'll probably take on some people that we don't even know, but even if one of those people are online, you could be like, "Hey man, let's just go do something."
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be people that read our site and people that we know from, you know, our extended group of friends that are going to hop on and hopefully make it a pretty big little thing.
One of the things that makes me want to play is the idea that Mike and I had for twin characters.
Oh yeah, you should definitely do that.
We were going to create the exact same character twice.
You're
going
to build like
I was going to play as
same
one
avatar,
and he was going to play as the exact same character.
Nice.
That would be awesome.
Just name them the same, and then just
we were going to do like a really bad like Tomax and Zaymot kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
You should totally do that. That'd be amazing.
But we're going to come up with really bad names.
You would
like
always terrible. Have
like
to make
Phil
sure
and Lip.
you'd have to make sure that you guys always had matching armor too. That would be challenging.
Well, if you can get armor as quest rewards, so you can just basically do the exact same quest.
Do all the same quests.
Exact same quest rewards, and just, you know, that'd be awesome. Oh, man, that'd be so good.
So I guess I have a concern.
Yeah.
This is the problem that I get into with a lot of MMOs, and that's the pacing of the game. Because when you, and it's not like within a vacuum, like the pacing of an MMO is like not a big deal. But then when you are having to decide between like, let me play either Uncharted 3, which like moves at a very rapid pace, versus like an MMO, which is obviously RPG, takes longer to unfold. And now it's like MMO game. So like now it's going to unfold even slower because they need to kind of like dangle that carrot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, how do you overcome like this pacing where it's just like, I've got 5 quests. I don't even care which ones I'm doing right now. Just run into an environment, kill 5 enemies, and then run back.
Well, you know? Hopefully the narrative is a strong enough pull to keep you coming back to Star Wars: The Old Republic, because it does have that BioWare polish. you know, where every quest is voiced and your character hopefully does have motivation to want to do those quests. But I see the problem. I remember, again, talking about World of Warcraft, when you do max out your level and there's no more quests to do, you've done them all. What do you do? You know, it's like you've invested all this time and all this stuff. So that's when people would start to raid and go on this, you know, end game content stuff. But time would pass, weeks where you wouldn't get any items and you wouldn't get anything new. And
that's the tough part.
And it became like a chat room, basically, where you just go on and bullshit with your friends for hours at a time, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but then you're paying for that. So it's like, do you want to pay for a three-dimensional chat room where you're sitting on a wolf looking cool?
I guess my expectation for I guess specifically the Old Republic is I partially want to role play as if we are still playing tabletop D&D.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so maybe you would let your character that you designed in your head dictate the choices that you make in the game.
Yeah.
You know, even if they're like not the optimal choices for like grinding levels and like specializing your character.
Yeah. That's kind of how I played any MMO. It's like, I'm a big enough nerd to admit that, you know, I love just acting how my character would act, you know, and even though I'm not on an RPG server, I'm still not going to play Ash in a MMO. I'm going to play my character and try and act as that character would act, because that's the fun of the whole thing. Like, otherwise, I'll play Battlefield. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to pick it up.
Did we change your mind?
No.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, I would like to join in, but I mean, at this point, I don't.
At this point, you have a month and eight days to decide what to do.
But if I don't get in the same server with you guys, then there's no point.
Oh, I don't. Well, I mean,
they're not going to lock the server.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You'll be good to go.
Yeah. Can be a
we'll see. We'll see you there, man.
Yeah,
like in Planet Side when I randomed across you and Cohen.
That was weird.
Yes,
that was really, really weird. Yeah, we were all playing Planet Side one day, and
I was like, "Hey."
Yeah, and it was like
in the middle of a big firefight,
huge firefight, and it was the kind of game where there'd just be like thousands of people. It'd be like going to the mall in another country and running into someone that you're good friends with.
That's crazy.
That's exactly what happened. So we're like shooting. I turn around, like Derek's sitting there, like, "What's up, Gary?" Like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. Planet Side 2 is coming out. I'm on that shit.
See now, okay.
This is the thing. Now they're gonna have too many.
Oh, MMO, yeah, like, you know,
MMO, FPS, RPGs.
Too many MMOs.
Oh, yeah, that's too many MMOs.
Because, I mean, if I play Star Wars, then I'm not going to play Planet Side 2.
I really feel
if
like...
If I play Planet Side 2, then I'm not going to play Star Wars.
I mean, can you play two simultaneously? I feel like I can only play one.
You can only play one. Yeah. MMO is sort of like your... I always played them to like relax because they're not fast paced, no matter how you cut
it. You're just kind of like
you just
kind of
hang out, you know, just play for a couple hours.
Can you use a controller?
Yeah.
They have controller support for the...
Yeah, you can set up a 360 controller.
For the Old Republic, they're going to support that?
Yeah.
I'm kind of... Because I haven't seen a lot of it yet, but I'm looking forward to using a controller to... Because I'm really interested in Starship Combat.
Yeah, that's one of the parts that interests me about it.
So that's kind of what I'm on board with. Because I did Starship Combat in Galaxies, and as bad as that was, that was like the only thing I wanted to do.
Well, all I can say is if you like Star Fox... then you're going to really like Starship Combat
and
in Old Republic. If you don't like Star Fox, then you will not
like... And is
like
the dialogue like...
Yes, and there are frog men. And,
that doesn't seem to fit.
No.
Is it all polygons?
Yeah, polyfrogs.
Damn it, Slippy.
His name is Slippy?
Isn't that like...
One of them was named Slippy.
You always have to save that guy.
Man, speaking of Slippy, Allison Hayslip quit G4. You hear that?
What? Did not hear that.
Yeah, just this week. It was sad.
Is she quitting like NBC Universal Comcast altogether?
She's not on The Voice either. So she quit all that shiz.
Wow.
She has two development deals going, but they don't... I don't know what they are yet.
They're not. They're in development.
Yeah. They're in development. So I don't know why you said Slippy. That's what people call her. So.
Oh, that's a weird nickname for someone.
Slippy. Hey, Slippy.
That's an excellent tangent to end the show on.
Yes, it is. All right, guys.
And done.
That was just about enough time. Thank you so much for listening to Rated NA, episode 43. It doesn't have a title yet. What are we going to call it?
Usually we title them after we...
Oh, yeah.
We put, it's kind of like
you scan them for information.
For nuggets, yeah.
Yeah.
But thanks to Derek for being on.
Thanks, guys.
I think maybe in the future we'll Skype Matt in somehow.
We might.
If he
comes back to life because he's dead.
Right. I heard he'll come back for the next podcast, but only if he can die in the first 15 minutes and be a ghost for the rest of the podcast.
Nice.
How does that work?
Should do that.
Yeah. So, of course, we're on Twitter at Nerd Appropriate, Facebook Nerd Appropriate, nerdappropriate.com.
1-800-NERD-APPROPRIATE.
Whoa. Can we get that?
Yeah, we have it. Call it. See what happens.
Are you sure?
I don't think that works.
Shh. Let them call it.
Tweet us and let us know what happens when you dial 1-800-NERD-APPROPRIATE.
Yeah. All right. We love you guys so
Thanks
much.
For listening.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
All of my friends call me Smeagol, 'cause I'm looking for a ring from Jason Segel. It's not the money that turns me on. No, I'm not interested in Benjamins, except for H. John. No, I'm just a girl who is in love with comedians. I want Andy Daly nightly. Would Paul Scheer come near if I asked him politely? Will my salad